no penalties here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manute.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this morning on YouTube and all of our social media platforms, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. With Ezra Ginsberg and with Dave Manuke, I'm your host, Drew Mindell, talking about the Winnipeg Jets on what is a bright and sunny, albeit not that warm, Saturday, the 8th of May. Gentlemen, good to see you both on this Saturday morning. We certainly won't be seeing much of each other in person with lockdown number 3 beginning later on tonight, but that's a topic for a different show in a different place and a different time. So instead, we'll just talk about the Winnipeg Jets this morning. Nice to see you guys.
Yeah, nice to see you guys too. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, what's going on in our province, but, you know, hopefully everybody is staying safe and, you know, we'll get through this together. But enough COVID talk, because it's obviously, you know, something we talk about way too much, unfortunately. But yeah, you know, guys, just you can the air just feels fresher in this city right now after that losing streak ended, right? Like, you can almost feel like, you know, that weight was on fans as well, right? And it was just something that I think everybody, the Jets, the players, the coach, the coaches, fans, everybody was just, you know, sick of talking about. So it's nice that, you know, the Jets are able to come back, have the last 4 games at home. You know, hopefully they can win all 4 of those games. And, you know, it's just something that, you know, you knew was going to end eventually. You knew that the Jets weren't going to lose their last 12 games of the year. Although at one point, guys, it looked like that might be the case.
Yeah, I don't know how sure of that I was.
Yeah, and you know, I think, Drew, the most interesting thing about these last 4 games is going to see, you know, which players are rested. You know, which defensemen get the majority of the games, right? Like, are we going to see one of the veteran defensemen on the Jets or 2 of the veteran defensemen on the Jets sit out? And, you know, are we going to see Christian Vesalainen maybe come back into the lineup? That's kind of what we're interested in seeing here, because we know the Jets have already clinched a playoff spot. It's just a question of if the Jets are going to finish 2nd or 3rd in the North. And obviously you would prefer to finish 2nd, but, you know, regardless, you're going to face the same team.
Exactly right. Dave Manuke, your thoughts to start on this Saturday morning. Nice to see you. It's a busy day. We got the Jets game tonight at 6. The Moose play, I believe, at 2 o'clock Central Time. They're in Toronto to face the Marlies again. So it is certainly going to be a busy day for all of us and for you over there on that website. And what's that website called again?
It's a little website called illegalcurve.com.
There you go. That's we appreciate that kind of plug right there. So what are you looking for in tonight's contest against the Senators and against the next 4 relatively meaningless games after that, or including tonight?
Well, I just wanted, since Ezzy got a little preamble, I'm going to just interject quickly and say support local as best you can, folks. We appreciate all the support we get from everybody on our channel. And I think it's important, especially with all the things that are coming in our province, that we try and support restaurants as best we could. I'm not going to be preachy and tell you what to do, but if you can, and if you can afford it, then I think it'd be great to help support local restaurants, local chains. And even sometimes you got to remember a chain is still owned by someone who's local. So just remember that and try and support those guys as best you can. Anyways, back to hockey. I think that the Jets are, it's interesting, right? Because Paul Maurice talked, Neil Pionk didn't skate yesterday. Paul Maurice said he was 98%. And he said Pionk wanted to get on the ice, but he didn't want him to. Just a further update, Nikolaj Ehlers will probably, he said he could be skating today. He could be skating in a non-contact uniform, and he won't be shooting, obviously, due to his upper body injury, which we don't really know what that is, but we suspect it's probably something to do with the shoulder if he's not taking any shots, and based on the way he went into the dressing room. So you've got Nikolaj Ehlers, who may be on the ice, but obviously isn't going to be practicing in any significant capacity. And you've got Neil Pionk, who's questionable, I would say, based on the fact that he called it a maintenance day, but then also acknowledged that he's 98%. So, you know, you had Jordy Benn on his right side, which probably would be interesting for Jets fans to be able to see Jordy Benn actually play on his right side, because even though it's his off wing, that's probably, you know, his better position based on what the numbers would suggest. And again, I think the other thing that people are looking forward to seeing is Ville Heinola getting another start. You know, he's an interesting young man. I thought his comments yesterday there was a lot of confidence there, which, and again, confidence, not arrogance. And I thought you can see he's a young man who has you know, feels that his ability is not really something that needs to be questioned, I guess. So I think that, you know, that's one other player you're really kind of watching to see if he can keep rolling what he was able to do. Obviously, like we talked about in the last game, he didn't play a ton of minutes. But again, if Neil Pionk doesn't play, here's an idea. Maybe give a guy who's very good on the power play, a power play opportunity. I mean, if you don't have a guy like Neil Pionk who can move and get that shot through, Billy Enola, he's had some power play time with the Manitoba Moose. He's a pretty good player. He's, you know, fast, smooth. There's an opportunity for him to kind of get him a little bit more confidence potentially on their power play. So that's one of the things I'm watching. And again, it's also about the consistency. Can the Jets remember, you know, Calgary is not a very good team. We got to qualify that. They should have been a desperate team, but they weren't a very good team. Mm-hmm. And Ottawa's a good team. Like Ottawa's 7-2-1 in their last 10 games. Ottawa's been playing good. They've won their last two hockey games. They're good. They've been playing. They pumped Montreal, 5-1?
They are. So I went back, you know, doing some research, you know, me, a professional journalist that I am. Ahead of the show, I went back and looked at Ottawa's record over the last month. They are tied for 11th in the NHL with a record of 8-4-1 over the last month. So that's not a pushover hockey team. Now they have nothing to play for tonight, but they really haven't had anything to play for since the start of the regular season, or since, you know, the first 10-12 games of the regular season when they got off to that terrible start. So Ottawa is a very good hockey team, and you know the Jets are feeling better about themselves because they got the win against Calgary on Wednesday night. But that being said, you don't want to get a win and then immediately go back to your losing ways. You want to get a win and then start putting some wins together so that you're feeling good about yourself heading into the playoffs, so that you're not trying to flick a switch and get ready for the start of the playoff series likely against Edmonton. So today against Ottawa, I'm not going to say it's a big game because that would be overstating things, but it's an important game for the Jets to ensure still that their details are correct, that they're playing like a five-man unit as they did against Calgary, and just sort of, you know, continue to get good vibes after what had certainly been the lowest point of the season there, Ezzy.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to follow up your first win in eight games with a disappointing loss, right? And I agree with you, Drew, and I love the fact that Mike Rowling is listening to us on the treadmill just because his name's Rowling, right? So hopefully he's doing some nice rolling on that treadmill. I certainly have not been on a treadmill in about 5 years, Mike. So you're doing a lot of exercise that I should be doing.
I got to say, though, Ezzy, I mean, with the beard trimmed to a much more reduced level, I made two comments or two observations. One, you look about 15 years younger. And two, you look about 110 pounds lighter, because that beard made you look like...
So it had some weight to it, for sure.
It had some heft to it.
But I appreciate the compliment.
Now you look like... You know what you look like? And this is a bit of a left-handed analogy, but my parents' dog, after she goes to the groomer, when she's before the groomer, she's this big sort of fat, wobbly thing. Then she gets groomed and you realize she's this tiny little thing that's got actually no body mass to her. That apparently is you. So what I'm saying is you're my parents' dog.
Yeah, and I'll take that big, fat, wobbly animal comment as a compliment. But
yes, that was a compliment, as I said, left-handed.
I'm just happy I got a haircut, and you know, that's another unfortunate thing about, you know, the new public health orders is that you know, hair salons are going to be shut down. But regardless here, boys, and that a boy Blake for testing out the IC sandwich, and apparently he put an egg on it. So I like his.
If you put an egg,
if you put an egg on it, it would be a perfect hangover medicine, is I think what Blake is saying there.
Yeah, I like it. That's
not
interesting.
Not that we would know anything about hangovers or anything like that.
Alcohol. Yeah, we've been dry for 10 years. Yeah, like going back to what you were saying before about, you know, the Jets in these last four games here, you know, Dave makes an interesting point about Neil Pionk, right? Because you would expect Josh Morrissey and Neil Pionk to be paired up together, right? If Pionk is ready to go, Dave. But, you know, you mentioned Ville Heinola and maybe, you know, getting some of those power play minutes. I would be interested to see if, you know, you see Morrissey and Heinola as a pair, because Paul Maurice said this yesterday, you know, that he's going to try a bunch of different combinations. I think he was referring to the forward lines as well, but probably more so the D pairings, right? Because you had Forbort and Pullman together, and you might have Stanley come in, guys. We don't know for sure, but there always is the option. Stanley comes in and Heinola stays in, which would, you know, mean that, you know, it's either going to be Dave Pionk or Forbort, right? Maybe Pullman, maybe Morrissey. But the money would be on Pionk, right? If Stanley comes in and Heinola stays in. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. And I think, you know, looking at this, you know, from a macro level, guys, I mean, the Jets could easily win all these games. Yeah, you're going to be facing a Toronto team that's obviously a very good team, but there's a good chance that Toronto team is going to be resting a lot of players in that last game.
You're
going to
be facing the Marlies, Ez.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know, let me stop you right there, Ezzy. You know, I think I heard this correctly in Paul Maurice's media availability yesterday, that he said, and Dave, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, please, but did he not say that he's not planning on resting guys just for the sake of resting them?
I think that was, I might be paraphrasing
a little bit, but I'm pretty close to that. That was, I think, pretty close to the quote that I heard. And I just don't understand that for the life of me.
But I mean, again, I look, let's be realistic. You always take a Paul Maurice press conference with a grain of salt, because I mean, what he's telling you is not what their actual plan could be. So, I mean, yeah, he may have said something along those lines, but I mean, he could change. I mean, first of all, it's not a courtroom. He can change his mind tomorrow. And it's not like anybody's gonna be like, well, you said this 2 days ago. I mean, he doesn't have to be held to his words, right? Because again, he's entitled to make decisions to change his mind. You know, worth noting, as just from the way the pairs were in practice, he had DeMelo up with Morrissey and he had Ben on his right side with Heinola, and Forbort was still with Pullman. So, you know, it'll be interesting. And it's interesting in the sense that if you thought Pionk was going to play, wouldn't you have kept DeMelo with Heinola and put Ben up in that temporary spot? So that
leaves DeMelo was really good with Heinola, right? Like we talked about that, right? Sure. Like Heinola, you know, is coming in, not having played a game in a while. And, you know, Drew's mentioned this many times before, right? Like Dylan DeMelo has been the security blanket on that Jets defense in terms of, you know, playing on the third pair with whether it's Logan Stanley or Jordy Ben, or before that, Nathan Beaulieu. So I like those pairs as well, Dave, because, you know, in theory, that would be your kind of third pair, right? Like Ville Heinola, Jordy Ben. I don't know if you call that your second pair or your third pair, right? Because we know Heinola has the talent to be a top four defenseman, but that would probably be your third pair if your second pair is going to be, let's say, Forbort Pionk, right? And then you're going to have, I guess, that would leave Josh Morrissey and Dylan DeMelo, right? And then you'd have to figure, Tucker Pullman is also an option to play with Heinola as well. But, you know, that's going to be something really interesting to watch, because, you know, I think when you consider Heinola's puck moving ability and just his overall talent and what he's able to do for that defense. And, you know, another thing, guys, we have to talk about is, like, even though the Jets, you know, won the game, you know, they got a little bit of a, you know, goal explosion here. There's other guys on this team that are still struggling offensively, right? Like, we know Pierre-Luc Dubois hasn't scored a goal in, I don't know, a month. It's been 12 or 13 games here. You know, other guys are struggling to put the puck in the net. So, I mean, you want to see some offense out of these guys as well, right? Like, you have four games. They're meaningless games in terms of you've already clinched a playoff spot. But I think that's something to watch as well, right? Like, not only would you like to win all four of these games or at least three of these games, you'd like to see these guys, you know, finishing and picking up some goals, especially like we talked about some of the guys in the top six, right? Like Paul Stastny, Andrew Kopp, Mason Appleton.
Well, you need now Kyle Connor there.
Yeah, exactly. Kyle Connor has one goal in his last six games, right? Or one goal in his last five games. So Connor's a guy that you got to get going. Mark Scheifele, like Blake Wheeler, obviously got his two goals. And, you know, that's something that is going to be huge here. And you're going to get every opportunity. Like, yes, Ottawa is a really good team. I agree with you, Drew. And they've been a great story. And I think one of the reasons why they've been so successful is that they haven't had any pressure, right? Like they've known for a while they weren't making the playoffs. So they're playing for themselves and they're playing that spoiler role. But when you're talking about those games against Vancouver, I mean, that should be point night for the Jets.
Well, Drew, I just want to interject quickly because to answer you asked the question about sitting guys, but Paul Maurice, just to add a little context, he did talk about not overplaying guys. So you won't see guys playing 25, 30 minutes. It really kind of, the impression I got was that he's going to try and roll his lines as efficiently and as effectively as he can.
Fair enough.
One little qualifier.
But I would still be surprised if some of the guys who've played 56 games or, you know, who've played 53 games or every game this year so far don't sit at least one night or two nights between now and next Friday when the regular season ends.
Well, and the only other thing I would add in, the only concern, and we talked about it on the last post-game show, I think, when we were talking about the idea of how would you would work the Jets' goaltending rotation, you know, for the next four games. The one thing Paul Maurice has to factor in, because of those meaningless Vancouver and Calgary who are playing the three games, or Vancouver and Vancouver
you're
and Calgary.
About, right? You're talking about when are the playoffs for the North Division going to begin?
Right. So because of that uncertainty, you know, you don't want to play a team. You don't want a guy. You don't want Blake Wheeler to play on Tuesday, sit out the game on Friday, and then not play again till what, the following Friday, the following Saturday, whenever the North Division would start. So
they're thinking of starting. I mean, sorry, Dave. I mean, if you look at the time frame, so the Jets season ends on the 14th, which is next Friday. Right now, Vancouver and Calgary are scheduled to play three games Sunday the 16th, Monday the 17th, and I believe Wednesday the 19th. So they allegedly are targeting the North Division playoffs to begin right around that 19th of November. So
that would be 8 days. If you didn't play, if you don't play the Friday
game, November.
Sorry, did I say November? May. Sorry. So back in time here.
So the point is that if you don't play that game on Friday against the Leafs, then you end up sitting at least 8 days. Now, look, getting some rest is going to be a good thing probably for this Jets team. You know, get some practice time in. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, but I'm just saying that factors in when you're talking about resting guys, that there will be rest at the end of, and I wonder if Paul Maurice in his head is saying, keep guys in game shape for the remainder of the season. Maybe we see something on the back-to-back. That would be the night I would expect you'd see him, yes. But I really don't know on that Friday against the Leafs. Look, you're not going to want guys killing themselves, but you're going to want guys in the game because, again, you have to be a little concerned about a long layoff, because we know what after a long layoff tends to do. You know, you get a little bit of creep in there in their game, and it's not necessarily good that first game of the playoffs if you've had that long a gap. That's all.
But that long layoff, to your point, is going to be the same for every North Division team. I mean, the Jets and the Leafs finish on Friday. I believe the Habs finish this coming Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm just talking about the playoff team. Really,
yeah, yeah.
Right? And the Oilers finish on Saturday. So there's going to be a layoff for basically all the North Division teams. Sounds like the Habs are going to have the longest one. They might even get a full week between the end of their regular season and the start of their playoff series, be it against the Oilers or be it against the Leafs.
That might not be bad for the Habs with all of their injuries, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Certainly wouldn't. I mean, if you're the Leafs, if you're the Leafs, you haven't played, you know, it's going to be a long time since you've played any sort of meaningful hockey game. And you wonder, you know, going a bit to your point there, Ezzy, if the Habs are healthy for that first game, assuming it's Toronto-Montreal, does that maybe factor in? But we're getting way ahead of ourselves when we're looking at, you know, playoff previews and things of that nature. Right now, it's the Winnipeg Jets that we're focused on. And I say good morning to everybody who's just joined us or joined us after I made my initial introduction. Nice to see so many people. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. This segment of the show brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the team at Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Don't be an Ezzy. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection, as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. To make an appointment to get your teeth to ting, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com.
Yeah, Drew, so, and I also wanted to, you know, just quickly say Mark Sports Video was asking about, you know, well, he wasn't asking. He was saying it's hard to sit a guy who has a bonus in his contract. And obviously, you know, I certainly have not looked at, you know, bonuses and everything like that. I'm not sure if you guys have. And it's a good point. And, you know, we're just talking here. I mean, we don't know exactly which players are going to get to rest. But, yeah, you'd have to think that, you know, that will be factored in if a guy, you know, can hit a bonus. Yeah, they're probably not going to sit him.
Bonuses shouldn't be a factor, because it's really only guys on their entry level deal or over 35 vets who can sign bonuses. And I don't think the Jets have any.
Logan Stanley has a plus minus bonus, I think. I want to say like if he finishes in the top three for plus minus, which he actually is right now. I think he's he's entitled to $125,000 bonus.
So he's going to get that bonus probably, whether he plays or not, simply because, I mean, honestly, if you're Logan Stanley and you're not worried about your bonus, but if you were, you'd say, I'm okay, just sit me. You know, I'll take my
kudos
bonus.
To his agent though, boys, for putting that in his contract, right? Because that's a very specific target to have to reach, right?
Well, and we've been putting that in your contract for years, and you haven't.
You just never hit the bonus. You just never hit the bonus, Ezzy.
You're still in the minus. You're constantly.
It's like, if I hit 500 illegal curve sandwiches in 3 months, I will get my bonus, and I only got up to like 350.
Your bonus in that case is an angioplasty, but that's a separate issue altogether. Look, the Jets are.
Sorry, I misspoke. If he stays in the top three of plus minus. It's a $212,500 bonus at the end of the season. It's a pretty good bonus.
That's decent money right there.
And nice little chunk of change there.
Yeah. Do you have to play a minimum number of games? That might be going too far into the weeds there. I'm not sure that if you have that.
Yeah, can you just pull up the PDF of his contract?
No, he played because he played his 29th game, and I think as long as he had played in 29 games, which was a while ago, then Well, I mean, hey, guys, you want me to do research for the show or not?
That
was back in April. So he's definitely hit the target date. Like, he obviously had to play a minimum number of games. So,
well, there you go. Dave Manuk bringing some signing bonus information, which is I did not expect you to pull that one out
morning. I mean, let's always give Cap Friendly it too. I mean, Cap Friendly is the place to go to find out any information you need. So. I'm not going to pretend like I'm privy to Logan Stanley's contract, guys. Clearly, you can just go to Cap Friendly and find out any information.
I was willing to give you all the credit in the world, and you want to take it. You're an honorable gentleman.
Drew, the key is that Dave actually went to Cap Friendly and did that research, which we didn't do. So it's really just comes down to us being lazy.
Yeah, but you have two kids. I have two kids. You know, Dave's got more time than we do. Let's blame it on our children, because that's what most good parents do, isn't it? Let's talk about Jets head coach Paul Maurice, because, you know, like we said, they won on Wednesday, so you could feel the pressure, you know, be relieved a little bit. But there was still a lot of talk last week about his future here in Winnipeg and the potential to see, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be a coaching change, but, you know, if the Jets don't get the results necessary during this playoff run, will that facilitate a coaching change between, you know, from Paul Maurice? And that leads us to the illegal curve question of the day, which is now available on the ticker on the screen as well as on our Twitter feed. If the Winnipeg Jets lose in the first round of the playoffs, what changes to the coaching staff and or front office do you think will take place? We'll start with that. So basically, the question is, what do the Jets need to accomplish come playoff time for Paul Maurice to maintain job security, or do you think that he's got job security no matter what the result come playoff time is?
It's an interesting question because, you know, it's hard to necessarily tie his future to what happens in the playoffs, but I think, you know, there's absolutely some pressure here when you consider that, you know, before the season started, we knew that the Jets were going to be competing with the Edmontons, the Calgarys, the Montreals, you know, for playoff spots here. We knew that Toronto was most likely going to be one of the top teams. They were the only real team, guys, that you knew you could basically pencil in as a playoff team. And I think, you know, considering the Jets were right up there with Toronto for several weeks, you know, battling for first place, I think, you know, the expectations for this team have changed since January. So I think in that sense, you know, I think the expectations have to be at the very least winning one round, if not a couple of rounds and getting to the West final, because aside from 2018, the Jets have not won a playoff round, right? So at a certain point, you have to say, you know, could we have different results with a different coach? So, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, if the Jets get knocked out in the first round that Paul Maurice is going to be fired, but I also wouldn't be surprised either, because I think this Jets team is absolutely capable of winning a playoff round. You know, is Edmonton a good team, and have they struggled against Edmonton this year? Yeah, we know that they've struggled, and Connor McDavid has put up 500 points against the Jets in 9 games. So it's not going to be easy, but, you know, I think you have to answer that question, Drew, and say how much pressure is on Paul Maurice to get this team out of the first round? And I think I've already answered that. I mean, there is pressure, and if he isn't able to do that, you know, again, I'm not going to say that he's going to absolutely be fired if the Jets don't go to the Western Conference Final. But again, I mean, this is a results-based business, guys, right? Like, that's what you are paid to do. You're paid to win hockey games. You're paid to win playoff rounds. So I think, you know, the Jets management, ownership, their expectation is absolutely that they want to go on a long playoff run. They're not going to be happy just to get there, guys. like this isn't the Jets are not at the point in their, I guess, trajectory, if you want to call them that, their window. They're not at that point in the window where they're just happy to make the playoffs. They want to go on a long playoff run because they haven't gone far since 2018. That was 3 years ago, boys. Like, you know, that you can't keep going back to that and you know, saying that, you know, while we, you know, had that playoff run, eventually we're going to get back there. I mean, now is the time to do that. So I think there absolutely is always the chance, you know, that Maurice's job can jeopardy. I believe he has 2 years left on his contract. So, I mean, he has that security, but it's definitely not something that we were talking about a year ago. But I think now with this shortened season and the facts are, if you get into the playoffs, you have just as good a chance as anybody. Columbus proved that to us. And many teams before Columbus have proven that all you have to do is get in and then, you know, obviously the Blue Jackets didn't win the Stanley Cup, but the point is, you know, you can upset a team in the first round. So there's no reason why the Jets can't at least go to the second round and further.
Dave?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the fact is that Paul Maurice has an extension that gave him, what, two more years after this season guaranteed. And I think that will probably play in, but I don't know, based on the lack of, like, we looked at the Jets defense and, you know, someone said Kevin Cheveldayoff has as big a role to play in this as Paul Maurice does, because these two are tied, right? I mean, again, the defense has been a problem since Dustin Byfuglien hung up his skates. And of course that drama played out, you know, unfortunately, as long as it did throughout the course of the season, you know, a while back. And it's funny, I was thinking about whenever I sometimes will go on a legal curve and I'll look at the .com and I'll look at some of the, like I'll come across an old post and
not
I just
the think to myself, curve porn site. That's good. Good for
no,
the
no, that's curves, Drew. But okay. The point is that even though that's what Weber likes to call us, the curves, but the point is that, you know, and it was funny cause I'd see the Byfuglien stuff coming up and whatnot, but look, the reality is this defense has been, you know, in shambles when you really lost Trouba, Byfuglien, Meyer, Sherratt. I mean, those are four big pieces and they weren't replaced. And again, do I think that the prospects are there? Yeah. But the problem is the problem with the Jets is you have a really good forward group and young prospects who are still developing and you don't want to rush these guys to help these guys. So the problem is that this has been an issue, right? And Kevin Cheveldayoff, we don't know we know the asking price for Matthias Ekholm was high. And then of course the window closed because Nashville was going on their run.
Yeah. Nashville's a win away from being a playoff team.
I know they're of course. So I'm saying, so like it makes sense why they, you know, I guess did, well, I mean, I guess it did in a sense make sense because, you know, to Ezzy's point, do you think you can get in and really make some noise? I don't know if I'm Nashville. I'm thinking that way, but perhaps they are. So, you know, what is it? Who is it going to fall on? I mean, you've hired Dave Lowry. Now you've brought him in to be a voice. You know, are the voices getting stagnant? At what point do you know, Paul Maurice is one of the longest tenured coaches in the NHL. And again, he's been a good coach in terms of, you know, achieving success with his team, but is he maximizing that level of success, right? Paul Maurice seems to be the guy who gets his team close to the dance, but not necessarily, you know, finishes off the dance, you know, you're not getting that slow song, you know? So to me, that's the key for Paul Maurice is to show that you can do something with your team. And again, I think it comes down to adjustment. I think it comes down to showing that you're nimble, a nimble thinker, and you're able to adjust on the fly. And, you know, he said something yesterday that he gets a little bit maligned for, and we'll see if it bears out. He said when he was the coach of Carolina in the Eastern Conf, and they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think he said he used 10 rookies in his lineup that year. And he talked about the kids being able to play. So, you know, again, if he throws Ville Heinola in, if he throws Logan Stanley in, I'm just saying, like, you know, that might show more of a willingness, more of an ability to change on the fly. I'm not saying it's going to get you through to the next round. Look, I think Connor Hellebuck, guys, and I talked about this in the last show, I think Connor Hellebuck is good enough to get the Jets a series win on his own. I think if he's locked in, and we've seen it since he won his Vezina last year, Connor Hellebuck is what kind of is the strength of this Jets team. It allows the offense to fly and it just allows the team to feel secure and, you know, rest on their laurels a little bit defensively. They've had to come back and be a little bit more realistic based on the fact that he hasn't been at, you know, a superhuman level for some games now. But again, I don't know that you're necessarily, I mean, it's so unpredictable. And this year, and the reason why I think Paul Maurice has latitude is because this year is, I don't know, Jeremy, I don't know if he's sick, I feel he can dance or not dance. I'm not sure entirely. I know I can't dance. So that's not a factor. But I think what it comes down to is that I think there's a little bit of latitude based on the COVID situation, what's happened, this North Division. And so I think that that necessarily will mitigate some of the love.
Well, let's bring in a person who wrote about this exact topic earlier this week in the Winnipeg Free Press. Our friend Mike McIntyre joins us from the arena. Game day skate about to get underway, if it's not already underway, ahead of the Jets and the Senators later on this evening. Mike, good morning. Nice to see you. How are things down at the rink?
Things are pretty good, guys. Looks like a very optional morning skate happening here. Only about, I don't know, a dozen players on the ice. So I guess they practiced yesterday, clinched a playoff spot the night before. So rest management appears to be in full effect.
There you go. Mike, you wrote about this in the Winnipeg Free Press this week in one of your columns, and it's our Illegal Curve question of the day. Basically, you know, to sort of sum it up, you know, what do the Jets need to do come playoff time? You know, if the Jets go out meekly in the first round of the playoffs, right, do you expect there to be changes to the coaching staff or the front office as a result of what I'll describe as another disappointing first round exit?
Well, I think there should be. Whether or not that actually happens is another story entirely. I'm not sure the organization in a year, especially where there's no revenues coming in, wants to be on the hook for paying individuals to not work for them. That being said, certainly the 7-game losing streak was very alarming, as was the play in you know, some of those games for sure. The Jets showed some really good signs, but I think there was some troubling things as well. So they get the win in Calgary and a good win in Calgary the other night against a Flames team that should have been fighting for their season, and they didn't put up much of a fight. You know what? I think there's an opportunity now here, obviously, for the Jets to try and finish the regular season strong, and whether they could carry that over into the playoffs. We know they're going to play one of Toronto or Edmonton, teams that they have not fared very well against. So, you know, the task is a big one. You know, I think they have to at least put up a strong fight. If they just meekly go out in 4 or 5 games, I think there's going to be a lot of calls for some change here. You're going to be bringing back a good chunk of the core again next year. You're probably spending to near or at the salary cap again next year. So the window, you know, hypothetically, that window should still remain open. But you wonder, you know, this is Paul Maurice's 8th year. Only John Cooper has been at the helm longer, and he just won a cup last year. at some point, like, look, it's not that one becomes a bad coach overnight, but the message eventually does get stale, right? And I think it's fair to ask, given how things have played out over the last few weeks, and, you know, are we getting to near that point? And I think how these next few weeks play out will go a long way to answering that.
Yeah, I think you make some really good points there, Mike. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier, right? Like you said rest management, and we know Ville Heinola is going to play his second straight game tonight. And, you know, we expect that, you know, the forward lines will probably remain the same. There might be maybe one change, but how do you think Paul Maurice is going to handle this? Because, you know, we talked about, you know, that idea of maybe resting some players in the back-to-back against Vancouver, because right, if you rest the players in that last game against Toronto, there might be too many days between, you know, the last game of the regular season and the first game of the playoffs. So how do you see this playing out here with 4 games left in the season?
Well, I mean, I think priority number one now is just to stay healthy, right? The last thing the Jets want is to have somebody go down in these last 4 that, you know, don't mean a whole lot, at least in the standings, like whether you finish 3rd or 4th, you're not getting a banner. You're not hanging a banner at Bell MTS Place for finishing 3rd or finishing 4th. And I guess, like I said, pick your poison. Would you prefer to play Toronto or would you prefer to play Edmonton in the first round? Looks like the Leafs are probably going to hang on to that number one spot. So, you know, stay healthy for sure and try and just get some good habits going again. You know, the Jets, I think we heard it from a lot of players, right? Paul Stastny, Andrew Kopp talked about, you know, cheating the game and some of the bad traits that developed. I think even though they lost a few of them, you can look back now to the last three or four games and say that there was some signs of the Jets coming out of some of those bad habits, certainly some better defensive awareness, you know, which seemed to abandon them the last time Edmonton was here. So, you know, you want to obviously continue that, but at the same time, I think you want to, how can we maximize the lineup for game one? All eyes have to be on what is our lineup for game one against Edmonton or Toronto, who's playing with who, and let's make sure we keep those guys healthy, but also, you know, keep them sharp. So it's a delicate balancing act, made all the more complicated, guys, by the fact we don't even know when the playoffs are starting yet, right? Like, it's a fair question to ask. Are they going to start the North playoffs while Calgary and Vancouver are playing their meaningless end of season schedule? Or are they going to make everybody wait until that happens? And, you know, I guess a little quirk here is that let's say Montreal just keeps losing. It's not out of the realm of possibility that mathematically Vancouver and or Calgary could still be in the hunt going into those last four games, which I would suspect would hold everything up, right? So it's not a great situation where if you're the Jets, you know you're playing today, you know you're playing Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, and then there's a great big question mark on your calendar after that.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live Saturday morning. Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press is our guest. He's live at the arena for the game day skate, the Jets and the Senators later on tonight.
Now, Mike, you're not wearing a hat because you're at Bell MTS Place, but I'm going to ask you to put your prognostication hat on and tell me, is Ville Heinola in the Jets lineup for game one of their playoff series?
Oh, boy. So should he be? Should he be?
I'll ask both.
Yeah, he should be. I won't hold my breath, though, on it happening. You know, and I'll say this. If he's not in because Logan Stanley's in, I don't have so much of a problem with that. If he's not in because Jordy Benn is in, I think then there's more of an issue. Me personally, and when we talk about what we'd like to see in these last four games, I'd like to see Logan Stanley and Ville Heinola in a couple games at the same time, not necessarily playing together, but just part of your six. What does that look like? And maybe we get that, right? I mean, depending on what happens with Neil Pionk, I guess, although it looks like it would be Jordy Benn that would go in if Pionk isn't in tonight. So, you know, I think that's something worth taking a look at. But guys, look, we know Paul Maurice, right? And the idea of him putting, you know, Heinola, who's a sophomore in his second year, and Logan Stanley, who's a rookie, the idea of him trusting that, even though we can all say that we think it's the right thing, I just don't know that Paul Maurice does that. So I'd lean heavily towards the no if everybody's healthy. But that being said, you know, and look, they didn't win the last game because of Ville Heinola, but the numbers are the numbers, right? The Jets have actually played, you know, they bookended that seven-game losing streak with the two games that Ville Heinola was in the lineup. And I'll say this, the thing that I liked almost as much as Ville's game is what it does potentially to the other pairs. And if that means that Paul Maurice trusts putting Neil Pionk and Josh Morrissey together, I like that a heck of a lot more than Josh Morrissey and Tucker Poolman, because I think Tucker Poolman is much better suited in a third pairing role than kind of a square peg in a round hole kind of situation, especially if he's not going to be out there against a McDavid or a Matthews. So if and we saw that last game that Maurice trusted putting Pionk and Morrissey, and I thought they were both very good in that game. I really liked how all three pairs looked. So, you know, that's something to watch for sure.
Mike, to that point or to that comment, you know, I go back to Elliot Friedman's 31 thoughts from earlier this week, and he had a couple points about the Jets, and one of them sort of talks about one of the conversations, and I'm quoting this, that might come out of Winnipeg's late season swoon is coach/management control of roster. And you go back to the trade deadline day where after the deadline, when the only move was acquiring Jordy Benn and Cheveldayoff really spoke highly about Ville Heinola and about how Heinola might be sort of a trade deadline acquisition for the Jets. And then it's taken obviously weeks since then to come to fruition that he's now in the Jets lineup for a second consecutive game. Do you think there's maybe a bit of a philosophical divide between Maurice and Cheveldayoff, I guess specifically pertaining to the usage of Heinola?
Right. So first of all, I've seen people speculate that there's a rift or something. There's no rift. It's not like they're screaming at each other, you know, Cheveldayoff's demanding Maurice do this and Maurice is telling him where to go. But that being said, no question. I mean, and that's not unusual in a management coach situation where you've got a general manager who spearheads the prospects and the guys that they bring in. And he probably has opinions on what guys might be ready. But ultimately the coach is paid to coach and the coach is hired by the manager to do that very job. So I just think, if we're trying to find something that more nefarious about it, I don't think that's the case. But I would not be surprised that in the very least if, based on what Kevin Cheveldayoff had to say after the trade deadline, if he would really like to see some of the younger guys get a bit of a look. And we know that really hasn't been the case. I mean, Ville Heinola played that one game in Toronto. The Jets won. And then Paul Maurice talked about a rotation, including one of the players Kevin Cheveldayoff brought in, Jordy Benn. Mm-hmm. Presumably, Kevin Cheveldayoff also wanted to see Jordy Benn get in, right? He's the one who made the trade for him. And I'm sure he likes to see Logan Stanley get in, too. That's a first-round draft pick that he made a few years ago. So I don't think there's any animosity there. But for sure, if you're the general manager, you'd like to see some of these players that you've picked and that you've kind of brought up through the development system get a look. And it maybe took a little longer than everybody would have liked. Ville will get a fourth game this season and a second in a row here. We'll see how long this lasts. But, I'm sure like everything in the off season, especially when things aren't going as well as maybe you'd hope, you go over it, you review, you see what could be done differently. And I'm sure that will be one of the many topics that's up for discussion.
Mike, there's no shortage of players right now, specifically forwards, that are struggling to score goals. And, we talked about a few of them earlier. Kyle Connor doesn't have any goals in his last six games. I think Mason Appleton doesn't have any goals in 17 games now.
Since Jason Bell did a big feature on him, by the way, make sure you remind Jay of that. I told Jay he is the local journalism equivalent of the Sports Illustrated cover curse.
And we actually had Jay on that day that the story ran in the Free Press, and it was a great story. But yeah, we'll go with that. It's the Jay Bell jinx.
Jinx. I like it.
and we'll get into the golf game in a second, Mike, because we want to know who won it. And it looked like you guys had a beautiful day out at Larder's. But Pierre-Luc Dubois is the guy that I wanted to ask you about. And I don't want to single him out because, as I mentioned, other players on the Jets are struggling. But for you, how important is it for Dubois to score a goal, hopefully more than one goal, in these last four games? Because it seems like his offensive game has really struggled over the last, two or three weeks.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at Dubois' numbers. Like, he's put up some points for sure, but they've all happened in clusters, right? Like, there's some real streakiness to his game. I don't know what I know at one point I had looked and like 18 out of his first 30 games with the Jets, he didn't have any points and he had his 19 points at the time in the other 11 games. So, which I guess we have to remember he's just 22 and that's not unusual necessarily for a young player to be very streaky like that. Obviously you'd like to find a little more consistency, and for a guy who is, on the second power play unit has pretty much been cemented in the top six, you'd like to get a little more offense for sure. To Pierre-Luc Dubois' defense, the Jets have not had a lot of practices this year. He's moved around with all different line mates. He's moved around positions as well. So I think that there's been maybe a longer than expected period of growing pains here that in some ways is understandable for a young player still trying to get his bearings in this new market. That being said, I think Pierre-Luc Dubois played the best hockey of his career in the playoffs, and especially against Toronto. If you're the Jets, if you're potentially playing the Leafs, you hope that you could get the Pierre-Luc Dubois from a year ago, and you know, the way he kind of ran wild against the Leafs, big, mean, physical, scoring big goals. And, you know, I've seen signs of that, guys. Like, I've seen, especially when the Jets have played Montreal, I see some extra fire in the belly of Dubois. He probably gets a little fired up playing, you know, the hometown team. And, you know, I hope we see that either down the stretch here or more importantly, when the playoffs start, because I think there's a real game breaker there. If Pierre-Luc Dubois can kind of find that piece of his game, he has the ability alone to be an impact player and a difference maker. And so I think that, you know, when we talk about this last week, these last four games, trying to get him in the right frame of mind should be near the top of the priority list.
Saturday morning, Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. Mike joins us from the arena where the Jets are taking their game day skate, an optional game day skate, I might add, ahead of tonight's contest against the Ottawa Senators.
No Nikolaj Ehlers out here, by the way. There was some talk yesterday that he might skate today in a non-contact. He's not out here yet. Whether or not he... And there's only about six guys left on the ice, so I'm guessing we're not going to see him today. But, you know, there's still time, of course. Nobody's expecting him back for the final four games, but obviously you'd like to have him ready for game one. And I suppose when we talk about the potential delay to the start of the playoffs,
yeah,
if there's a silver lining, every extra day maybe gives Nikolaj Ehlers a chance to get healthier.
Certainly benefits the Jets with Ehlers and Montreal with their litany of injuries. I'm sure that they wouldn't mind having an extra 5 days between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs.
Well, you know what, Mike, and that's what I was going to ask you about, that idea of, because you have that gap, normally we talk about this rest versus rhythm for goaltenders, the guy like Connor Hellebuck who wants to play every game. You might say, well, he's had the most starts in the NHL at 42, maybe give the guy a little time off. But because of that gap, You most likely are going to see him. What would you think in the last four games? We know, I think I saw Kenny tweet that he's already off the ice.
He's playing tonight. He was the first guy off.
Yeah, so he's the first guy off. You got to think, obviously, they're split it. But do you think you have to give him that start? The question for me is that Friday game against Toronto, we may see a Marlies team for the Leafs because they might not want to have to even bring everyone here. But what do you see in terms of the goaltending because of that long layoff after and the uncertainty of the start of the first round?
I think he for sure plays in that Toronto game because exactly what you said, his rhythm would get disrupted. If he plays, he's going to play tonight. And then if he's going to play one of Monday or Tuesday, and then if he doesn't play again until the start of the playoffs, like that could be over a week. And I don't think they want that. I think in a lot of ways, the Friday game might work out perfectly, that it gives them kind of a last tune up. Then they'll obviously have some practice time in there. Look, if they go into that game next Friday and either third or fourth is cemented and the game means absolutely nothing, and Toronto it means nothing to if they've already established first or second, presumably first, maybe we see, you know, Hellebuck and Brassois split the game, or I don't know. I mean, I guess you could do something there, but I do think he at the very least gets in. I just don't see them giving him that much time off. Because he wouldn't want it, and he would say that it would be counterproductive at that point.
All righty, last question for you, Mike. We referenced the golf game at the beginning of the interview. You started 8-6-7-5-3. Did you finish the 0-9 on the golf game?
So it's funny. We were talking on the course after five holes, and I was 5/7 of the way towards the Jenny. How do I possibly get a zero? And then Jay Bell came up with the great – he used the CFL Grey Cup ticket rollover rule that anything over 9 reverts to 0. So Jay said, well, if you put up a 10 on this hole, that we'll call it a 0. I put up a 5 on the 6th hole, so that ruined the Jenny. I said to Jay, so you mean I got to go 10-9 on my next two holes? Like, that's great that I can say I did that, but it's going to completely ruin my round. But you can bet that we were all singing the song a lot that day because of my first five scores. But yeah, I rebounded nicely. 8-6-7 is not the way you'd like to start any golf round, guys. Yeah. But I rebounded with a fairly tidy 96 on the day, and I finished second. I beat I beat Jason Bell and Scott Billick. Kenny took home the title as expected. No holes in one for Kenny, but he only beat me by 5 strokes. He was off his game a bit. To his defense, the Manitoba Golf Tour was just starting. He hadn't played yet all year.
I had
one round under my belt for whatever that was worth. But yeah, it was a good day on the course for sure. And we were just happy in a way that the Jets pulled out the win the night before, because we had all joked, can you imagine if they've lost 8 in a row? We're going to be standing on the first tee. Imagine that news drops of like a coaching change or something as we're all standing on the tee box. So at least things calmed down for a couple of days.
Mike, you beat Jay. That's all that really matters.
That is all that matters. Yeah. I will remind him of that every opportunity. In fact, I'd like to announce my retirement from the sport of golf, thus giving him no more chances to reclaim the title.
I don't think it's a fair comparison, though. Jay had to play the whole game with Marty Bird on his shoulder, and that's just, that just impacts the swing. There's nothing good about that.
And the crushing weight of knowing that he threw Mason Appleton off his off his game with the curve.
Exactly right. Mike McIntyre covers the Winnipeg Jets for the Winnipeg Free Press. He's a good friend of the program. Mike, be well. We'll see you again soon. Enjoy the rest of your duties this morning and then tonight's podcast.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
There he goes. Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press joining us on the program. Going to take a quick break, pay some bills. When we come back, much more Jets talk still to come on the show tonight. Dave Pointman, smash the like button while we go to break. Still to come, Ian Mendez for the perspective from the Ottawa Senators. And Jeff O'Neill, O-Dog, joins us at 11 o'clock as well to talk more about the Jets. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
we have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see LindenMarketDental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Dave Minuk made it just under the wire after he goes and visits with Mr. Ginsburg during the commercial breaks. Even you guys just can't get enough of each other. Is that basically what I'm led to believe?
That's true.
Okay, that's nice. That kind of bonding, that kind of friendship, that kind of connectivity.
It's the show between the show. That's basically what it is.
It's true. It's the outtakes of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show that nobody besides those of us behind the scenes get to see how the sausage is made. And I can assure you, you don't want to see that at all. This segment brought to you by our friends at Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. If you're craving an Illegal Curve sandwich for the next month or so, you're going to have to make it at home yourself. Now, it's not that difficult to do. You can do it. You go to Bernstein's and you pick up some chicken schnitzel, and then you pick up some salami from them, and you pick up some honey mustard, and you pick up some rye bread, and you put it all together and you got an Illegal Curve sandwich, because Bernstein's is undergoing some renovations on the restaurant side of the business. The deli is still open.
By the way, good timing for that.
Sadly. That's perfect timing. Exactly right. You know, they timed it to be perfectly during the shutdown, where you can't eat inside a restaurant anyway. So they're doing some renovations. So no hot food available from our friends at Bernstein's for the next month or so. But the deli counter is still open. They're still making sandwiches. They're still making salads. So you can still check them out for all of that those needs. 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Pardon me. Tuesday through Saturday. Check them out, Bernstein's Deli. All the information available at bernsteinsdeli.com.
Also, we should also mention that if you want, you have to pay a little bit extra for this, but Drew Mandel will make you an Illegal Curve sandwich, and he will ship it out to you as long as it's within the city limits.
That's true. My shipping fees are exorbitant, though. But that being said, you know, that is something I'm willing to do for you, our loyal audience here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We go the extra mile for our audience. Let's see Rennie and Kenny try and do something like that. They don't offer to make any sandwiches. They only wear headbands. We make sandwiches here.
Those are our boys.
Those are our boys.
We should probably wish Weber a happy birthday. It's his birthday today.
I saw that. I think it was Coffee and TV who said that it was a happy birthday to Mr. Weeb. So Dave, we'll have to give Kenny some of the birthday bumps later on today. I'm not sure if you can do that in a COVID appropriate manner, but maybe some virtual virtual birthday bumps for our buddy.
I don't know that I would be doing that in a regular world, so I'm not so sure that I worried about a COVID world, Drew.
Well, 29 again for Mr. Weeb. So, you know, nice to see you. Happy birthday, Kenny. You know, let's talk about, we talked about the hot seat of Paul Maurice, and we bandied that about. What about the stubbornness? That was a big topic earlier, and we know about the hot dog joke, and he doesn't like ketchup on his hot dog, and great, that's all fine and good. Is he too stubborn as a head coach? He denies it, as you would expect. He says he's got some built-in philosophies about, you know, how things are supposed to work, but he doesn't believe he's stubborn. From your perspective, guys, do you think that there's an element of stubbornness to Paul Maurice's coaching?
I think there is. And, you know, we've talked, and, you know, just looking at, you know, what's happened, you know, this year, you know, you think about, you know, how long we were waiting for Jansen Harkins to get into the lineup. And I realized that the Jets were winning a lot of those games and were healthy, Dave, during that stretch. You know, but we've certainly seen a reluctance, you know, to play some of the younger players. And Jansen Harkins, even though he was drafted 6 years ago, is still a relatively young player. So I think that's the obvious one, that, you know, sometimes, you know, we would like to see some of the younger prospects in the Jets system in there. And it was only because Tucker Poolman was injured that, like, let's not forget that. I mean, Logan Stanley wouldn't have played that many games earlier in the season if it wasn't for the Poolman injury, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to give credit for Paul Maurice for sticking with Logan Stanley and having the confidence in his game to keep him in the lineup, even when when Tucker Poolman was back. And obviously Nathan Beaulieu's injury is the other, you know, big factor there as well, right, guys? But I think you have to look at, you know, not only the unwillingness sometimes to play younger players, but it's also, you know, some of the line combinations and coaching decisions he makes in game. And I think, you know, we know that Paul Maurice relies heavily on a player like Adam Lowry, for example, and for good reason. I mean, Lowry is a guy that is one of those kind of jack of all trade players, right? More so on the penalty kill, but we've started to see him more and more on the power play as well. So I think that, you know, sometimes he relies maybe too much on one line or two lines. And obviously, you know, the fourth line, Drew, is something that you have mentioned many times on this show, right? Like, this is the first year in a long time, maybe ever, that Paul Maurice has used this fourth line this much, right? And it's because, yeah, you have Nate Thompson and Trevor Lewis and Matty Perreault, veterans, and then, you know, you've got Jansen Harkins on that line now. But I mean, that's something that I think, you know, is I would call it maybe a little bit stubborn that he's not willing to roll four lines. You know, Paul Maurice likes to, if you compare him to certain other coaches like Barry Trotz, for example, in New York, you know, he plays his fourth line more. So I think that's also, you know, something that you could say maybe is a little bit of stubbornness, but it's also his coaching style. It's his coaching philosophy. So, I mean, and again, you guys know this, you could pick any coach in the NHL and you could probably say that some of them are stubborn in this way or that way. But I think that there's no doubt that, you know, there are certain players on in this system that you could say, you know, probably deserved maybe more playing time this year. Ville Heinola is one of them for sure. And then depending on, you know, how ready you think other players are to take that next level. But having said that, guys, I mean, you look at, you know, all the players that have taken a step forward in their game, right? Like Paul Maurice deserves a little bit of credit for Andrew Kopp. He deserves a little bit of credit for Mason Appleton. Obviously, Pascal Vincent and the coaching staff for the Moose, you know, deserve a lot of credit for getting them to the NHL level. But you also have to give Maurice credit when players are succeeding. So even though he might be stubborn in terms of favoring older players over younger players, you know, he's also got a lot, and players have had career years during his tenure.
Dave, before I get you to answer, here's the latest from Bell MTS Place, according to our buddy Mike McIntyre. Injured Winnipeg Jets forward Nikolaj Ehlers has come out for a twirl here at the arena. Loud cheers and stick taps from the few other guys still on the ice as he emerged. He's working towards a return for the playoffs. Our buddy Sean Reynolds continues to add to that. He's skating. He's not shooting as we didn't expect him to, but just the sign of Nikolaj Ehlers being on the ice at the end of the optional game day skate today is a good sign with the playoffs approaching, Mr.
Minnick. Yeah. And as a quick segue or a quick sidebar to on the Nikolaj Ehlers stuff, how important has he been and how important is his role for this Jets team? And, you know, again, as he pointed this out, when the Jets' losing streak was beginning, Nikolaj Ehlers was in the lineup. But throughout the course of the losing streak, you saw just, I guess you were reinforced how important he is to this team and what a big part of this team Nikolaj Ehlers is. So, yeah, that's a very good sign for the Winnipeg Jets to have him back skating. Sean has a video on his Twitter. You can see him, you know, taking passes, obviously not shooting because he's not cleared to shoot yet. So, but a very good sign, and especially – look, we talked about it, and as you mentioned it, with Montreal and Winnipeg, when you have guys, and I'm sure, look, every team, no team gets the end of a playoff, the beginning of the playoffs healthy. It just never happens. You're always going to have guys who are banged up. So to have a little bit of time, and the truth is almost all these teams are in a very similar boat. Montreal, to your point, Drew, earlier, will have, you know, maybe a few extra days, but the reality is all these teams are going to get. So remember, you were outraged. Oh, these games are meaningless between Calgary and Vancouver. Well, what are they doing? They're probably affording these teams the opportunity to heal up and get some necessary rest for all these guys. Because, look, Paul Maurice said yesterday, Neil Pionka is 98%. That's probably generous. But yeah. But the reality is he said he's 98%. And very soon, I'm sure, now that you know the skate is over, we're going to be hearing about tonight's lineup for the Jets. So we'll have that news for you guys, you know, as it comes
30
out.
Minutes probably, for sure.
Oh, we'll for know sure, about, for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, again, like I said, it's one of those situations where we'll see what happens with those. But again, ultimately, all of these guys are banged up. All of these guys are dealing with things, and they play through it because that's just the way they are, and that's what they're. It's just what they do as players. But at the end of the day, this kind of opportunity will give them a chance to heal up. So that's a good thing. Back to the coaching thread.
Yeah, back to the question. Point. So let me just rehash the question for anybody just joining us. The question was about Paul Maurice and his stubbornness. We earlier in the show, we talked about the potential for his seat to be hot, you know, depending on the results of the Jets, you know, in the first round of the playoffs. So, yeah, and then a lot of the conversation this week was about stubbornness. Is he too stubborn with his deployment? Is he too stubborn with his lineup decisions? And now I want to, you know, you can follow up and pick up on that thought, Dave.
I mean, again, you know, is it stubbornness or is this coaching style? I mean, that the point as he just made. I mean, look, there's a million. Look, every whether you're media, whether you're a fan, you have an opinion. Everybody thinks they're a coach. Everybody thinks that they have the answer to what ails the Winnipeg Jets. So they offer up their opinions. But ultimately, at the end of the day, Paul Maurice is the one who has to make that decision. And so you can call it stubbornness, or you can say it's a his coaching philosophy, as he just pointed out. And again, you can disagree with it all you want, which we do. We do a lot. We often will say, oh, we think player X should be in. You know, Ville Heinola is an easy example. Or player Y should be doing this. Or he should be doing this. You know, player this. You know, Blake Wheeler should drop down to the third line. It doesn't really matter what your opinion is. You can have an opinion on the team, and that's great. But again, I think he's got a philosophy. He sticks to it. Is he unwilling to change? Sure. Do I see him evolving as much as he should? Maybe not. But I mean, when he was called about it, he was asked about it last availability on Friday. And he said, you know, I played 10 rookies when he was asked about the idea of not playing young guys. Because we know he tends to default to veterans, right? You know, when you see Jordy Benn in the lineup on the left side over Logan Stanley or Ville Heinola, you know, steam comes out of people's ears because you're thinking to yourself, what are you doing? You know that those guys have more ability than Jordy Benn on the left side, even though Jordy Benn is a 500, you know, plus game NHL veteran. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have to think to yourself, you know, so that's where he tends to default to that veteran over ability. And we can disagree with it, but that's his coaching philosophy. So I'm not trying to quibble with you in trying to thread the line between, you know, stubbornness and philosophy. But again, it's, you know, one person sees potato, one person sees potato. He sees his philosophy and wouldn't acknowledge that it's a stubbornness issue. It's what he chooses as his right as head coach to make for his lineup. All I would say is we would disagree with the, you know, some of the personnel decisions he makes, you know, but at the end of the day, again, he has to live and die by the decisions he makes. And again, do I want to phrase it as stubbornness? Yeah, I think there are certain elements for sure, because, you know, the idea of, like I just illustrated, you know, Jordy Benn playing on his left side, which is not his strong side, is in my view, would be an acknowledgement of him being stubborn, you know, playing, you know, veterans who, you know what they are, you know what their ceiling is, over young guys who could potentially elevate their games to the next level. You know, we know what Logan Stanley was able to do between the end of last season with the Manitoba Moose and the start of training camp this year. And, you know, he's gotten better, as he's talked about earlier, he's gotten better throughout the course of the year, right? So again, it's giving guys opportunities and not necessarily sticking within that framework of, well, I need to have Derek Forbert in because, well, maybe Derek Forbert's been really good because Neil Pionka has been a very good defenseman. So that's the only thing I would quibble with, is this idea of his clinging to the veterans. And that's, you know, again, like I said, that's what I think he does.
Saturday morning, you're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. Of course, we're talking about the Winnipeg Jets. They're in action later on tonight against the Ottawa Senators. The IC post-game show, that'll go live later on tonight, right around 8:30, 8:40 p.m., give or take a couple minutes, depending on when the game ends. So when the contest ends, come back here to our YouTube channel. We'll be talking about tonight's game against the Ottawa Senators. This segment of the show brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com. You know, what I'm really interested in as we sort of talk about stubbornness here is, you know, when the playoffs begin, and let's assume the Jets finish third. And that's, I think I'm relatively safe in assuming that. Montreal obviously mathematically can still leapfrog the Jets. The Jets can clinch third as early as tonight with a win against the Senators and a Montreal loss in regulation against the Leafs. If the Jets are going to be locked in against the Oilers, and if we see Mark Scheifele get the matchup against Connor McDavid again, then that to me is a coach being too stubborn, because that matchup has not worked once this year. The numbers for McDavid against the Jets are astronomical. I mean, and we saw last year in the bubble that Pierre-Luc Dubois matched up against Austin Matthews, the best Toronto centerman, was a matchup he could handle. McDavid is better than Matthews, but he's not you know, he's not substantially better than Matthews. Matthews is a damn good hockey player. If it's Scheifele against McDavid on game one against Edmonton, that to me is a coach being too stubborn and seeing something there where nothing exists that should say that this is a matchup that he can deploy and be comfortable with.
Right. And we've talked about this before in the postgame show and you know, the Saturday show about right. how it makes a lot more sense to have Pierre-Luc Dubois' line, whoever is on that line, because as Mike McIntyre mentioned, guys, last segment, I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois has been on the wing and he's had different line mates, different wingers when he's up the middle, right? So I think there's a good chance that Nikolaj Ehlers is going to be flanking Pierre-Luc Dubois, and maybe it's Paul Stastny on the wing. You know, I guess it could always be, you know, Kyle Connor as well. I mean, we'll see what happens here. But yeah, I think, you know, there's that, Drew. There's, you know, the matchups that Paul Maurice tries to get. And it's also, you know, sticking with certain pairs, both on for forwards and defense, right? Like, look at Josh Morrissey and Tucker Pullman, right? Like, the advanced statistics say that Dylan DeMello is your best defensive defenseman. We all know that, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to expected goals. So, I mean, it makes sense to have DeMello with Morrissey. And, you know, I would rather see Morrissey and Pionk together than Morrissey and Pullman. And obviously, guys, we're going to have to figure out, like, who are the Jets' six defensemen, right? Like, we talked about it. If Logan Stanley, Mike McIntyre answered Dave's question. If Logan Stanley is in the lineup, most likely Ville Heinola won't be in the lineup. There's always an outside chance that, I guess, Jordy Benn is in the lineup and Heinola and Stanley aren't. But based on skill and the way they've played this year, I think we'd all agree that we'd rather see, you know, one of Heinola or Stanley. And so that goes back to stubbornness as well. And is that all, you know, preferring veterans over younger players? Yeah, it's possible, but it's his decision-making. That's what it ultimately comes down to, guys. And I mean, if we dissected, you know, everything about coaching, then we can get into systems. And, you know, I would point out to, you know, Nikolaj Ehlers, you know, has always kind of stayed on the second power play unit as opposed to the first power play unit, even though I think we'd all agree that Ehlers is the most skilled player on the team. At the very least, he's a top three skilled player on this Jets team. So why not have him out there on the top power play unit, right? Like, that's the whole argument that, you know, Blake Wheeler needs a reduced role on this team. Wheeler's still really good on the power play. I think we'd all agree with that. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, Maurice has been a little bit stubborn in giving Ehlers that number one power play time. And I think there's something to be said, guys, for spreading the wealth a little bit and having guys like Dubois and Ehlers and Pionk on that second power play unit. But, you know, it's a question that I, as Dave said, everyone has their opinion. And at the end of the day, Maurice is the one who calls the shots. And if the Jets, you know, are successful or unsuccessful in the playoffs, a lot of the attention is going to be on him, and that's the way it should be. When you're in a results-based business and the Jets haven't been past the first round since 2018, you know, I'll say it again. I mean, the expectation for this Jets team is not just get into the playoffs. It's not one and done. There are expectations, and Dave's right. I mean, maybe you get a little bit of leeway here because this has been a unique season, 56 games, you know, all in one division. But you wonder if, you know, Maurice is coaching this team and they didn't get out of the first round, you have to think that next year there's going to be even more pressure on him.
Let's hold that thought. Take a quick break. When we come back, more Jets talk. We're going to be joined by Ian Mendez of The Athletic as well. Much more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.